Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Hallelujah. 45 years, 3 months, and 7 days.
No, we're talking about...
Tonight, we're talking about claiming
yes.
our promised land. Bold statement. Moses is dead, but you're not. Moses is dead, but you're not. You're a part of the Joshua generation.
That's right.
Ready to claim your promised land, flowing with milk and honey, having every need met, but more than enough to bless and share with others.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but Joshua 1, chapter 1, well, Joshua 1, verses 1 through 8, fires me up. I mean, just with incredible, never-ending expectation.
Full of godly knowledge and wisdom.
So I strongly encourage you to take those 8 verses.
That's right.
And put them on your smartphone, iPad, tablet, electronic toy, you know, note card, notebook, paper napkin, whatever you got. Write them down where you have easy access to them. And refer to them frequently. Get them engrafted into your spirit.
Yes.
Because these 8 verses will take you from just living.
That's right.
To soaring in the spirit.
Amen.
And they're that powerful.
They
and,
are.
So, you know, now on the outline, I listed them in order,
mm-hmm.
though we won't refer to them in
if
order.
If you need an outline.
Yeah. And outlines at the bottom of the page for those
right.
of you watching around the world. Everybody here tonight, you've all
has
got
one.
Outlines on the table. Joshua 1, 1 and 2.
1 and 2. King James. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua.
Joshua.
I couldn't get that out. Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel.
This chapter is about to unfold the lives of the children of Israel. It's about to point out that their leader, the man person they followed out of Egypt, is dead. But the promise, the vision,
amen,
is not.
And what my husband's about to say, listen closely, this is very good.
Never base your pursuit of a vision on a man or woman of God.
Right.
The one who taught it. Don't put all your confidence.
That's right.
And those people. But on our great God who promised.
The vision itself.
Because you may have had a charismatic leader, someone who was brilliant in the word, but people stumble and fall. So never put your confidence in the leader. Put your confidence in the word of God. Because this is the difference, honey, between failure and success.
That's right. Could be the difference between your failure and success. Even looking to someone who is a fabulous person, that's still, and always stays a fabulous person, the focus is incorrect.
Now the verse that you read says, arise, go over Jordan.
Hmm.
The word arise, according to Strong's Concordance, is the Hebrew word H-69-65. H-69-65. And it means to rise, to arise, become powerful, come on the scene. So when God says arise, it means start moving towards your goal. Start moving towards your goal. The thing that you desire, the thing that you've been believing for, it means that, and actually it's whatever thing God's put in your heart. And you just
That's
arise
right.
and start pursuing that.
Your purpose.
When we move forward in faith, we move with our great God Jehovah's blessings.
Amen.
That's what he wants. In other words, get up, do something, stop talking, and start pursuing his promises in the word. The verses tell the children of Israel where to go to get the inheritance that they've been promised.
Mm-hmm.
God reveals to us every day where he wants us to go to manifest the promises that he's given to us. He wants us to pursue with passion the inheritance that he's promised us. Mm. I've said this for years. I've put it on Facebook periodically. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose.
That's right.
Find it, live it before it's too late.
Amen.
If you have a purpose, if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. Now, there's a very powerful transition into Joshua 1:2, where it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. Now, this is more than a shift of leadership. The children of Israel are about to move from the promises of God, leaving the sin and the mistakes of the past and bad choices behind, and move into possessing the promised land. Mm. See, that's where you are. That's where everybody here tonight and everybody around the world watching, you're at a point where you need to be moving into your promised land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I believe we are. Amen. I mean, you know, you can read about it, you can think about it, you can study it over, but there comes a time when you have to get up and let's start claiming this so that we can possess what it is that God wants us to possess right here on planet Earth. Moving, being movers and shakers for the Word of God.
It's time to leave the past behind.
That's right.
And move toward the promises of God.
Amen.
In his promised land.
Mm. What he has, what he wants for you.
It's time to leave the old way of thinking behind.
That's right.
And to embrace the new things.
Amen.
That God wants to do in our life.
If we don't know the word, we won't know the plan.
That's exactly right.
If we
right.
don't believe the
You'll
promises.
You'll be wandering around in the wilderness.
That's right.
Why does this always happen to me? Because you don't know the word of God. If you knew the word of God, you wouldn't be, you know, going
wondering.
Around and around and around and around.
Wandering around
You'd be going in.
That's it. And that is that, you know, I mean, we have to, every day is a new day to start moving into the promises.
It is.
Making them more and more real in our lives. All right.
Joshua 1:3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon.
That's right.
That I've given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
Amen.
God is telling Joshua that it's time to possess what he's given to the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where we are today. God wants each of us to possess the good life that he's planned for us.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter if at the moment you're so broke that you can't pick up all the pieces. It doesn't matter if you're unemployed, underemployed. It does not matter. What matters is claiming the promises, claiming your promised land, and moving, arising, and get up, and go in, and seize
and
what's yours.
And
possess.
I think one of the things that really can, I think it's important to bring up, that throws people to the side of the road on their journey, is the fact that, you know, you can expect, you might as well expect, I mean, James 1 says, expect trials and tribulations and things that are coming your way, but they're not to derail you, they're to make you go to God and keep depending on him for everything that's happening. I mean, nothing is new under the sun. Things are going to happen, but if you're not in there possessing and going after things, the point is those trials are going to come and God has an answer for you. So you just go, Lord, okay, here's my dilemma, and this is how are we going to get through this, and what are we going to do, and what scriptures, and I mean, that's the point, not going, oh, well, I must have done something wrong, or oh, my, you know, what am I going to do next? He has you. He's leading you. You're going to have, you know, trials along the way, but he's going to take you through them because you are dependent on him. It's not a matter of becoming independent. It's a matter of realizing you are dependent on him. Go to him, find out what to do next, and continue.
We are to live as Jesus tells us to live.
Yes.
And Mark 16, 15 through 20.
There you go.
Now, on your outline, there are certain parts of that scripture that I've underlined. And see, I think those are key elements that we need to focus on.
Starting
as you look at this.
In verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. That's what it says.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have the faith to take up serpents.
Well.
But I'd rather use a shotgun on them.
The point being is, I think he is, you know.
I'm sorry, I just can't.
You're going to get us waylaid, huh?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But we did shoot a snake with a shotgun this week.
Yeah. We didn't.
Yeah, my neighbor.
The neighbor did.
Hallelujah.
But anyway, go. This is such good material. And you know, the thing of it is.
These are the works of Jesus.
Thank you.
That we're to be
about.
I'm going to
preach it for you.
These are the things that we're supposed to be doing. Right there. Listed and marked for us.
Right here, right now.
Before the children of Israel.
Okay.
Entered the promised land. They were following miracles. But then, miracles started following them. I need to say that again. And everybody needs to catch this around the world here and there. Before the children of Israel entered the promised land, they were following miracles. But once they started and moved into the promised land, miracles began to follow them.
That is the crux of what we're teaching tonight.
It is.
You know, I mean, I've had all the wilderness I want. We need to start laying hands on the sick and letting them recover.
Come on.
We need to start moving into the purpose that God's called us into and claiming those things, not letting any rock in the road, mountain before us, or anything else keep us from pursuing the goal, because God will find a way around anything that gets in our paths. It is what we have been called to do, is be victorious through the word.
Hallelujah.
So we're talking about promised land manifestation tonight.
Even though there are times when we need a miracle.
That's right.
A supernatural intervention of God in our lives. We live in a time, spiritually speaking, where miracles should be following us.
Amen. And they do.
And they do.
And they do.
And sometimes it comes in unusual ways.
Yes, it
does. Like yesterday.
Right.
You know, I'm sitting at a desk and Bev meets a family, and they just moved into the area. He's a pastor called to this church that, you know, they just
outside Goldsboro.
Just outside Goldsboro to get it going. And he'd been here just maybe a month.
He'd been here a couple of weeks, and he was holding one of those heart pillows. Well, I knew what that meant. And I said to him, and his family had his wife and his two girls. And I said to him, I said, you just had some open heart surgery. He said, I sure did. And then he was telling me the story that I went later, came back and was telling Harold about. So we have this new pastor family, and they have had some tough times just coming into town, you know, anyway.
Packed up everything and came here on a step out of faith to this small church. And I was thinking about what Bev said, and I looked where I could see him. And the Lord said, give him $100. So I called Bev and said, the Lord told me we need to give them $100.
So
we wrote the check, and they came over. Told them I wanted to see him before they left. Came over, and I said, the Lord told us to give you this. And he looked at it and he said,
wow, it was great.
He said, you have no idea. He said, my wife is not going to believe this. His wife came over, and he handed her the check and said, they just gave us this. She started crying. And he said, what you don't understand is, she's got a new job here, but she doesn't get her first check till Wednesday. And we didn't know, you know, she and I talked. And his teenage daughters are there. Said, we didn't know how we were going to get food to survive between now and Wednesday. So and I God said, well, here's what you need to know. Good. My wife signed the check. It has our names on it. But that $100 is a gift from God to you.
Right.
To tell you that he's watching over you. And it's because you're pursuing your promised land here.
They were, yeah. You know, it's always great to hear the Lord and to do what it is he says to do. And I mean,
that was a miracle for them.
Right.
And truthfully, a blessing for us.
That's right.
Because
see them so blessed.
Yeah, people look at it wrong. When you give somebody $100, it's not money you're giving up. Because the Lord's going to pay you back for what you've done.
Investment in the kingdom.
In the kingdom and in your own future, so to speak. So the point is, miracles should be following us.
That's right.
And we should be looking for opportunities.
And the miracle is just, and I say, I love it when, you know, this is the point of it. We should be listening, tuned into the Holy Spirit like my husband was yesterday. Hear his voice, act on it, so that we can help somebody else. They in turn will help somebody else. I mean, it is a kingdom thing when you just do and listen to the Holy Spirit and do what he says. And that's the way we all should be living all the time.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
Joshua 1:4.
Mm-mm. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast.
Our God, our great God Jehovah, is a God of specificity. He delivered these instructions. He picked out a choice piece of real estate to give to them. And the scripture says, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I've given to you.
Amen.
God has given us dominion over every place that our feet tread. When you walk wherever you walk, you're walking on holy ground.
That's right.
Because you are a temple of the Holy Ghost. So no matter where you are, what environment you're in, you need to know and visualize that you're doing kingdom business.
That's right.
On a holy ground.
If you are walking in whatever land or whatever situation, wherever you are placed by God right now is not by accident. It is to take that ground for him. Exodus 3:4-6 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out into the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. God said, do not come near. Put your shoes off your feet, for the place in which you stand is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God.
See, as we journey through life, we need to understand that every place our feet tread is holy ground because of the God we serve.
Amen.
But because of the God we serve. And see, this realization, honey, will bring us a boldness in every situation we face, in every opportunity that is presented to us.
That's right.
That realization is on holy ground.
And
the truth of the matter is, your miracle may not be financial. Your miracle may be a word of encouragement. Your miracle may be taking food to a family. Your miracle may be laying hands on somebody and praying the prayer of faith for healing in their body. You know, Bill Gaither had a song that he sang called Holy Ground. If I remember right, it was written by a guy named Jaron Davis.
It was.
But I like, we are standing on holy ground, for I know there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now, for we're standing in his presence on holy ground. See, you don't have to be in church. Wherever you are, you're on holy ground. As long as we live a life like he's commanded us to do in his presence.
We're taking the Lord with us everywhere we go.
And see, in his presence, as the song says, there's joy beyond measure and forevermore.
Amen.
It's time to stake your claim to your holy ground.
Amen. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Wow.
From this verse. First thing, in God's eyes, he sees no one capable of having dominion over you.
Amen.
I need to let that soak in a minute. God does not see anyone who has the ability or authority or dominion over you. He does not see you that way. He sees you above and not beneath.
That's right.
The head and not the tail. God does not see anyone who has the ability, authority, or dominion over you as you pursue his promises.
Do not see yourself as grasshoppers, because God definitely does not.
And see, second thing about the scriptures, this promise is good, not just for the immediate future, but as far as God is concerned.
The scripture says.
The scripture says, this promise is as good as long as you live.
Think of that.
As long as you live. Third, God backs up his statement, always promising to be there to back you up.
So,
now you hear people say, you need backup. What better backup can you have?
Than the Word of God.
Than the Word of God.
Amen.
And our great God, Jehovah.
That's right. Psalm 139:1 in the Message Bible. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you, even from a distance. You know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much. Too wonderful. I can't take it all in.
Hallelujah.
The Message Bible has a really way of getting down there going, you know, making it real. You know, he knows what you're thinking.
Yeah, he does. He does. And do you remember something God's ever delivered you from?
Hallelujah.
And if he delivered you before, you know he can do it again.
That's right.
And
He has a grip on you.
He's got a grip on you. He really does.
And that's what the Bible says. Isaiah 41:8 in the Message Bible says, don't panic. How many people panic? Really? First. Don't
be
panic.
Honest, yeah. Most people do.
That's right.
It takes a natural
It takes
response.
A while before you don't panic.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then you just have to go. Now,
God knows everything.
God's in control.
That's right. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady.
Hallelujah.
Keep a firm grip on you.
God's got a firm grip on you. Now, that's
what he promised.
Make you shout, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah. I do. That's good. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto your fathers to give them.
According to Strong's Concordance, the word for Hebrew word for courage, H5530.
Amen.
Means to be strong, alert, courageous, brave, stout, bold, solid, hard, to be determined, to make oneself alert, strengthen oneself, confirm oneself, persist in, prove superior to be. It's the exact same word that's found in Joshua 1:9, which says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou shalt goest.
Amen.
And the classic Amplified translation of Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Our faith, our trust is believing that even when things look badly.
Strength is a component of courage.
Right.
But is not necessarily part of strength.
Courage is not necessarily a part of strength.
That's right.
Right.
Courage means having the strength to do something despite being afraid.
Yes.
Courage means having the strength to do something. How do you become courageous? Same way you become strong, by reading, speaking, and acting on the Word of God.
Amen.
If you want to have great muscles.
Strength. Physical strength.
And it's great to have that.
You work out.
Yeah. But building spiritual muscles makes you win in every area of your life.
That's right.
When we become totally committed to trusting and living in God's Word, there won't be anything or anyone who can keep us quiet about it.
Yeah.
They can't. And this is important. People don't lack strength. They lack courage to do something with what they've got.
That's right.
People don't lack strength so much as they lack courage to do something with what they've got. Moving to our promised lands means we have to fight some giants.
And face a few.
But you're not alone.
Yeah.
See, I personally, scripturally think we're in the promised land. But we haven't defeated our giants to move fully in.
Yeah.
To move in the fullness of it. I believe that to be the case.
And the more giants you face, the greater your capability in the promised land.
And the victories.
That's right.
But you're going to have to fight some.
Yeah.
But you're not fighting alone.
Amen.
You're not fighting alone. I don't remember. I've seen it in a commercial or a TV show. Little boy was walking home from school and there was bullies that would pick on him.
Mm-hmm.
And his older brother said, "You just need to stand up to him." So one day coming home, the bullies came at him and he spoke at him and said, "Come on." And the bullies looked at him and ran away. What the little brother didn't know is the big brother was standing behind him.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way it is with us.
That's right.
The enemy comes and tries to bully us, tries to create doubt or unbelief. Our big brother,
hallelujah,
is right behind us going,
mm-hmm. Jesus Christ the righteous. Woo!
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
You will be
defeated. That's my mental image
in half. I know it. Amen. Amen. We're not fighting alone.
That's it.
Number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest.
He wants us focusing.
Yes.
On his divine instructions more than anything else. That's what he wants.
Amen. 1 Samuel 15:22 in the New Living Translation says, "But Samuel replied, 'What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams.'"
As we travel through this journey called life, question is, do we sometimes hesitate, question, or doubt the promises of God? The question is, what do you do? What do you do?
We need to remember what the Word says.
That God is not a man.
That he should lie. That's right. Numbers 23:19. You need to always have this on reference. Classic Amplify Bible. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Or feel compunction, this is amplified, for what he has promised. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We may not have gotten every promise, but it's there for our getting if we stick to it like a bulldog, right?
Our obedience to his instruction
is
when we move forward without fear or doubt.
And even when you are fearful, I think it's in Isaiah 43. I've quoted this many times. David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And you know what? If fear comes up on you, say, "Lord, what time I am afraid, I still trust in thee."
Hallelujah.
Amen. And one more thing. Joshua 1:7.
I like it in this translation.
In the New Century Version says, "Be strong and brave. Be sure to obey all the teachings my servant Moses gave you. If you follow them exactly, you will be successful in everything you do. Listen to that. It's successful in everything you do.
The last eight words in that are amazing. Mm-hmm. God doesn't want you successful in some things.
That's right.
He wants you successful in everything you do.
Amen.
You can personalize that verse.
There you go.
If Norman follows him exactly, Norman will be successful in everything he does. Mm. If Fred follows him exactly, Fred will be successful in everything he does.
Amen.
Personalize it. Personalize it.
And verse 8, a very favorite. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We love verse 8 of Joshua 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt make, shall have good success.
Hallelujah. Go ahead.
The New Living Translation says, study this book of instruction continually.
The Message Bible says, and don't for a minute let this book of Revelation be out of your mind.
That's how you get it in you. It's meditating on it. The Contemporary English Version says, never stop reading the book of the law he gave you.
No matter what translation you use,
right,
it's clear that God wants us studying the Word, not just on Sundays or when times get tough, when we're in trouble. Putting the Word into action is a continual process. That should be an integral part of our talk and walk.
That's right.
It should be.
Amen.
Now, the King James Version says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Mm. Now, the word, Hebrew word meditate,
is good.
Yeah, it really
it's,
is.
It's 1897.
It says, utter, muse, mutter, meditate, and speak. And it comes from a root word which means whisper. See, the general impression is when we say meditate, people think that's just something you think about, that you're pondering in your mind. Mm-hmm. However, the Hebrew translation says that we're not just to ponder this, that we should speak about it. You know, we should speak about it.
It becomes so integral in our in who we are.
Even in a whisper.
That we just, you know, you get in the habit of just talking to the Lord everywhere you go. And, you know, especially when you're by yourself, you're just talking to Him. You know, just talking to Him. So it just becomes who we are because we're so used to saying, praise you. You know, I mean, just into the Lord all the time. Anyway.
I like Matthew 12:34.
I know. In the classic Amplified.
Last part of it says, for out of the fullness, the overflow, there's superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
As we continually read and study the Word of God, we're programming the good stuff into our mental hard drive, which displaces the negative stuff.
That's right.
You know, in our daily situations of life, every response or our response in every circumstance will be determined by the superabundance of the Word of God in our lives. And if it's in our lives, it's in our hearts.
It's flowing
out of our
mouths. I love Proverbs 22. This is one of my favorites. Actually, this whole little area. Proverbs 22:17-18, the Classic Amplified Bible says, listen, we've taught this before, it's so powerful. Listen, consent, and submit to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. This is the Lord talking to us. For it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind, believing them. Your lips will be accustomed to confessing them. You've got the word so ingrained in you that you just, that's your first response, is the word of God coming out of your mouth. Sure. Now, let's move to Joshua 1:9. This is in the New International Version. It says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Have I not commanded thee? In other words, read your Bible, do what it says.
Yeah.
And then Psalm 119:60.
Right.
In the New Living Translation. I will hurry without delay to obey your commands.
Amen.
The Hebrew word for commanded, honey, means to command, charge, give orders, lay charge, give charge to, order. So there are three questions we need to ponder. Are we following directions given us in Joshua 1a? Are we following those directions? Do we do it sometimes when things are tough, or do we do it all the time? It is the only scripture in the King James Bible that has the word success in it.
That's right.
So if you want to be successful, you need to be doing what Joshua 1:8 says.
Especially if you're a King James person.
That's right.
That's all you're going to get.
And if you read it in, you know, the King James Version says thee and thou, but other translations says you and your. Mm-hmm. In fact, six times in that verse it says you or your, meaning we have a part to play.
Yes, we do.
And whether or not we're successful and prosperous.
What we choose to
do. What we choose to do based on the Word of God.
Amen.
So, second, you know, are we doing what God instructed us to do with Joshua 1a? Mm-hmm. That'd be second. And are we reading, speaking, and doing the Word of God? The Joshua and his generation were about to enter, conquer, and inhabit the Promised Land.
Think of that.
That's exactly where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly where we are.
The Joshua generation.
Mm-hmm. We're part of that.
That's right.
We're made up of those who would enter the Promised Land without the bondages of the past.
That's right, because we have the bondage breaker living inside us.
See, it's important that we not carry baggage in with us.
That's right.
And we can release it. See, to me, the reason I say we're part of the Joshua generation is that we're a type and, you know,
yes,
a type and shadow.
Joshua was a type and shadow
of the church
of what
today.
Jesus, exactly.
And God is calling us to leave our traditions and move into the fullness
mm-hmm.
and his promises in the Word of God.
That's right.
To appropriate those promises into our own lives. Seven characteristics
of the Joshua generation.
For those who want to claim their promised land.
Amen.
First, an increase in boldness.
Joshua 10:12-14. As the men of Israel were pursuing and harassing the foe, Joshua prayed aloud, "Let the sun stand still over Gibeon, and let the moon stand in its place over the valley of Elijah." And the sun and the moon didn't move until the Israeli army had finished the destruction of its enemies. This is described in greater detail in the book of Jasher. So the sun stopped in the heavens and stayed there for almost 24 hours. There had never been such a day before, and there has never been another since when the Lord stopped the sun and moon, all because of the prayer of one man. But the Lord was fighting for Israel.
Hallelujah. Boldness. You just finished reading the book of Jasher.
I did. It is a fascinating book. Very fascinating in a lot of different ways. But you know, I was thinking about that, but the Lord brought me back when we were studying over this to really Harold Hill. When I first got saved at 24, Harold Hill was just coming on the scene. He was I'm going to stop and tell this hopefully quickly. Harold Hill was a scientist working with the NASA, and when they were trying to figure back in the day in the 70s, they were trying to figure out, they had to know precisionally, where the sun and where the moon and all these things were going to go before they could put people into space. And they were studying and they were missing. Now, he's just a scientist, not saved, sanctified, full of nothing at that point, except a lot of scientific knowledge. They were missing a day in time. They couldn't figure out where it was. And one of the other scientists said, well, you know, talks about it over in the book of Joshua, about it said there were the heavens and the earth stayed there for almost 24 hours. And that's how he got saved. He started studying this and they found all but just a little bit of time. And then they looked at that and it said for almost 24 hours. They were still missing a piece of that 24 hours. And so he got deeper, started digging deeper into this and saw where it said, where Isaiah over in, it's actually quoted in Isaiah, it's also in the Kings somewhere, where the king wanted to, you know, be proven that this was going to happen. And Isaiah said, well, do you want me to have the Lord move the sundial ahead a few degrees or behind a few degrees? He said, let him move it behind a few degrees. In other words, the sun is showing that it's going to, it's supposed to be keeping on moving as the sun goes. He made the sun reverse. And the exact amount of time they found in that matched it and made it 24 hours completely. The man was then, you know, saved, sanctified, and definitely full of the Holy Spirit because he saw firsthand in his business that God knew exactly what he was doing. And he wrote books, and he was a mighty...
We heard it.
Yeah, he was a mighty man of God.
He really was.
And, I mean, he knew, hands down, right there, you know, that God made the heavens and the earth and knew exactly what he was talking about. So really, you know, it's there. If we just look around, it is here for us to know and for us to know that we know that we know that we know that God is God.
There's so many things that in science that confirm the Word of God.
Exactly.
And
you brought him up before.
You're teaching on the speed of light.
Yes, that too.
Is an amazing teaching.
It's awesome. It's amazing what God.
And we have
right
that available on our website, haroldherring.com. That's a good
teaching. That is true. We do have that CD.
Second, an increase in influence.
There we go.
An increase in influence.
Genesis 45, verses 4 through 8. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, do not be grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. There is always a reason for everything God does. Sometimes we have to work with him. It says, for these 2 years hath a famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be eating nor harvest, earing or nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. You know, it goes without saying what I think about Joseph. And the lesson you learn from submitting when you're in a bad situation. Faithfulness will always, 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 always bring you out. And third is an increase in favor. 1 Samuel 2:26. And the child Samuel grew and was in favor with both the Lord and also with men. And also in Acts 2, verses 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So many. Fourth in this, exercising leadership that can be duplicated. John 14, verses 12 and 13 in the Living Bible. In solemn truth, I tell you, anyone believing in me shall do all the same miracles I have done and even greater ones, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask him for anything using my name, and I will do it. Think of that. For this will bring praise to the Father because of what I, the Son, will do for you.
I like being duplicatable.
There you go.
In fact, God stirred me once to do a book, and I've got the chapters outlined. I just haven't written it because I haven't been released to write it. The title of the book is Are You Duplicatable?
Mm.
Are You Duplicatable? And he gave me the seven.
Does anybody want you to
surprise.
Be duplicatable?
Seven keys.
Seven chapters.
Yeah. Fifth. Fully equipped to complete your assignment.
Amen.
Fully equipped to complete your assignment. Philippians 4:13.
Mm.
In the Classic Amplified. I have strength for all things in Christ who strengthens me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency.
Amen.
Can somebody say
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That is good.
Six, do it now. Do it now.
Mm. Proverbs 6, verse 4 in the New Living Translation. Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do.
The most difficult part of any journey.
That's right.
Is the first step.
Yes.
So don't allow the enemy.
That's right.
Of your progress. The enemy of your promises, mm-hmm. God-given promises.
That's right.
Keep you from organizing your priorities and moving ahead.
That's right.
With passion to pursue your purpose.
Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4 in the Living Bible.
I like this.
I mean, there's so many scriptures that are so good. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done.
Hallelujah. Seventh, become a money magnet.
I like that. Oh, you are cute.
You want to do it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sticking together. Deuteronomy 8:18. Woo! In the Classic Amplified Bible. But you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day.
Hallelujah.
And Luke 6:38.
I talk about that, but we don't have
I
time.
I know. It is so good. In the New Living Translation, give and you will receive. What happens when you get in the straight? You give. You say, well, I don't have anything. Oh, yes, you do. Find something to give and give. And you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Amen.
Hallelujah. See, we have everything we need.
That's right.
To walk on holy ground.
Amen.
To move into, claim our promised land. To
be victorious.
Victorious in every battle. Doing more than we even thought or imagined.
I know. I'm already doing that.
You hear people talk about the greatest generation.
There you go.
The silent generation, the baby boomers, Generation X, Generation Z, millennials, and so on. None of those classifications interest me. None of them.
Or define you.
But we boldly proclaim.
Amen.
That we are a part of the Joshua generation.
Amen.
And we're claiming.
Taking the land.
Our promised land.
Amen.
How about you?
Join the debt-free army and we'll march together.
That's it.
Amen.
Devil's terrified.
That's right.
He really is.
And because we want to glorify the Most High God.
Yes, we do.
The Joshua generation. That's good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Joshua generation.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that. Hallelujah.
Couple weeks from now.
2 weeks from tonight. 11/18/25. June 25th. You know, January 1st, we talked about our year of unlimited miracles.
Amen.
On June 25th, we said we're going to have six conference calls
six
this
months.
Year. The last one will be on the last Sunday in June. June 25th. As we get ready to enter the last 6 months of 2017.
Yep, we'll see what.
So make plans now to join us 6 p.m. June 25th.
Conference call.
Either live stream or conference
stream,
call.
Whatever.
Because I want to tell you, we're step by step.
Entering the promised land.
In the promised land.
I mean,
And we're going in and defeating giants.
Exactly. And we may have needed, in the miracles, you know, unlimited miracles. Well, miracles are going to start following us.
Hallelujah.
You know, we've been.
And not just us.
But, I meant us. I mean all of us.
All of us.
Amen and amen.
Yeah. And you and you and you and you and you and everybody. Hallelujah.
All right.
Well.
Hallelujah. That was good, honey.
One of the ways to claim your promised land is by listening to Rich Salts for breakfast every morning.
It's true. It's
every
good.
Morning. Hallelujah. 8:30 Eastern. If you can't do it live, you can watch the playback or listen to the playback. And join us, 8:30.
Hallelujah. Please do.
And if you've been blessed by the teaching, take your mouse, move up to the top where it says sow a seed. And just ask God what seed He'd have you put in the ground.
That's right.
Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking those rich thoughts.
Hallelujah. Bye-bye.